Number 14.
Above TopSecret.com and the Deny Ignorance broadcast affiliates are proud to bring you The Skeptic Overview, the one and only show with that champion of truth, free expression, troll-free discussion boards, and great big band hammers. The hero, the legend, The Skeptic Overlord.
And hello again, everyone. This is the Skeptic Overlord coming to you, as always, from the center of the universe, Midtown Manhattan, or at least the known universe, anyway. Oh, a lot has happened on Above Top Secret this week again, and it's Friday again, November 11th, and another Skeptic Overview coming your way, number 14. These things just keep growing. So we have a lot to cover tonight. A little bit more about the pod threads and the podcasts and the Zed Show back in a big way. And a little discussion about what's new on AboveTopSecret.com. There's been a change not many members have been aware of. We'll talk about that a little bit tonight. And the featured forum tonight, I'll cover some threads from the conspiracies in 9/11 forum. And as promised, Ask the Overlord is appearing tonight.
Above Top Secret Podcasting Review.
Well, the podcasts, as we know, just continue to Porky Pig is with us here tonight. How you doing, Porky? Well, so here's the unrehearsed aspect of the podcast. I'm going to keep that one in there. I'm experimenting just as I was last time, and we'll continue to try and create a podcast that is a steady stream, start to finish. And I'm experimenting with the new software on the Macintosh, Audio Hijack Pro, and so far it looks very good with an excellent workflow integrating multiple applications into the podcast experience here. And if only the announcer could speak straight, then perhaps the software would work correctly. So anyway, getting back to the topic at hand, the podcasts are now numbering 760 at just under 1.7 gigabytes. What I've actually had to do this week is clear up a bunch of space on the server. There were some, as it turns out, a lot of stuff that could go by the wayside. An old script was sitting and still running, dating the backups of the database. And I had about 12 gigabytes of dated file names backing up the database going back several months. And, well, I don't think we needed those anymore. So that cleared up a whole bunch of space for podcasts. And to celebrate that, we will be increasing the limit on member podcasts coming up, and that'll be announced for the next week's Skeptic Overview, and the file size limit will correlate to the number of posts you have a little bit more. It does now, but just as the member upload feature correlates, so will the available space you have for podcast uploads. And again this week, Zedekus continues to amaze as he has brought to us a brand new intro to the Zed Show. And if you haven't listened to his new show lately, it's time to have a listen.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
AboveTopSecret.com and the Deny Ignorance broadcast affiliates are proud to bring you the Zed Show. This is the podcast which is not hosted from the center of the universe.
Hey, wait a minute. I resemble that remark.
And now, here he is, everyone's favorite super modulator and super moderator, the first wizard of Above Top Secret, Zed.
And Zed gets into a pretty nice little show. let's fast forward here. And I think he gets into a little bit of his trials and tribulations with podcasting software as well. Let's have a listen.
I just wanted to talk about, again, get back to what I referred to earlier in the show, the podcast frustration some people have because they don't have a super powerful Macintosh.
I'm just on an iBook.
Let me tell you, it can be done. I spent a little bit of money on a microphone and a little.
By the way, if you're trying to get serious, that is the best choice you can make. The microphone, as you can tell by my dulcet tones, is your best first investment.
A little bit of money elsewhere, and that's been it. I haven't spent a whole lot. One of the limitations that I've had, at least I think it's a limitation, as far as I've been able to determine, is pretty much just the sound card on my laptop. I found a great program out there, and I think you can find it on a Google search, and it's called Pod Producer.
Yeah, that is a good app from what I've heard, and this infant technology still is in the early stages. We're seeing more and more applications come out that provide a seamless workflow. And what appears to be happening, at least from the people I've talked to, and who knows, maybe soon we'll see something new, that the pod space at this point is pretty much populated by people that have some level of experience in audio production. So they're comfortable with higher end audio development tools, or even more comfortable with Audacity as a lower end tool, simply because they've developed their own workflow patterns with the more professional tools. And this week, today especially, there's a podcasting convention going on. Pod Show is one of the sponsors out on the West Coast, and there's supposed to be a lot of new product announcements. And maybe after this weekend, we'll start to see some new traction in the podcasting tools as we see these applications develop. Mr. Whoopi also started a thread. We are the Borg, and I initially was surprised to see this in the conspiracy feed. And as I started to listen to his experience here, I realized, well, maybe not a conspiracy. It still does fit into this particular feed quite nicely. So let's have a listen to his initial podcast and then some of the replies.
And I go over and I look out.
See, the computer went
all out there in the hallway.
Yeah, the network went down and people are milling about.
And that's when it dawned on me that they are the Borg and that I was one of them. For those of you who don't know who the Borg are, they are off Star Wars, Star Trek, Next Generation. They're a race of people that are...
Star Trek fans are up in arms and battling Star Wars fans right now.
Collective, a hive. They communicate with each other through their electronics. They are all electronically connected. And when you cut one loose, it's stranded, baffled. It doesn't know what to do because it's no longer a part of the hive. And when you cut off my computer today, I realized I was no longer a part of the hive.
Should not feel comfortable.
Thomas Crown jumps in.
Maintain your position. It will be restored. We have people that are trained, competent at this. For example, the Skeptic Overlord.
Absolutely.
So, my friends are on the internet.
Benevolent
for the
heretic.
Most part. And you talked about what about when it just disappears. And that's really something to think about. And I don't like to deal with a loss ahead of time, so I'll deal with that. And I think it's going to happen.
So this touched on a couple of things that I've always been interested in, and that really is the culture and the cultural change that the internet has brought on. While not necessarily a conspiracy, it certainly does contribute to the factors that can build conspiracy theories, our core culture. The internet and the pervasive nature and how we're relying on it is certainly something that is very new over the last 10 years. And combine this with the unique qualities of the culture of the internet. I talk about this a lot. You don't necessarily hear me talk about this because I don't talk to you guys about this. But the internet culture is one of collaboration that is driven by the ethics of sharing. And as we rely on collaborating and sharing with people on the internet as part of our daily lives, and suddenly it's gone. It seems as though we forget how to do that in real life for some reason. So it's a very interesting pod thread, and go have a listen to that. It's excellent to at least sit back and ponder the complexities of these questions, and then jump in with your own comments, please. So to round off what's happening in the pod threads this week, Thomas Crown, he catches a lot of flack. Well, for good reason, I suppose. Poor Thomas. I think who can say it better? But
Calipa.
Yes, but Thomas.
But look here, Kalamazoo.
So Thomas was starting a podcast. Well, come on, shut up, Thomas. He started a pod thread. Who are you, and what do you want? So let's have a quick listen to a surprisingly astute and interesting entry from everyone's favorite new administrator.
Who are you? What do you want? Those of you who remember the science fiction series called Babylon 5, will remember those are the two questions that the two superpower alien groups asked. One group would ask, who are you? The other group, who was supposed to be the evil ones, would ask, what do you want?
So in our podcast this week, we had mention of not only Star Wars, if not by accident, Star Trek, and now the uber geek of uber geek sci-fi shows, Babylon 5.
The reason why I thought of that was I was just reading about
by
Fred
the way,
T's,
I did watch Babylon 5.
Recent trip to go look for remnants of a crashed airplane. And once again, he was unable to find any relics of the crashed A-12. But reading his about his trip, it seems to me that he did find a lot of stuff. Not something that he could take a picture of and put it on the board or hold and show to other people. But he discovered a lot of stuff, and it sounds like a trip that most of us wish that we could have gone with him on. And the reason why I ask this is, or mention this, is who are we and what do we want? How do we define ourselves? Who are we? And when we define ourselves and know who we are, what do we want?
Well, I am a 44-year-old man who is at a nice, peaceful juncture in his life. That is happy, content, and really not even pushing any envelopes at the moment. That's not a sad thing, you know.
Well, I'm 30 years old. For the first part of my adult life, I basically wrapped it around a man, other than going to school. He didn't want me to go. I went. I got my first job up there. My mother had never wanted any of us to work jobs. She just wanted us to focus and dedicate ourselves to school. And I decided that I was going to go anyway, even though he didn't want me to go. He wanted us to get married immediately. He wanted me to move in with him immediately. And I said no. It was hard for me to just leave and go to school without him, but...
So this continues. That was Safarwina, by the way. And really, is it anyone surprised that Mr. Whoopi is in a happy place right now? Congratulations to Mr. Whoopi. You gotta love him. I really, props out to you, man. It's good to see your contributions in the podcasts and hear that. And anyway, back to that pod thread. It's really a very interesting pod thread that Thomas started, and some really, really good replies in there. So if you haven't been catching up on the podcast at this point, really, there's so much happening. We're still getting an average of 8 or 9 new podcasts a day as the week wears on, and we are zeroing in on 1,000 podcasts, and I'm going to have to consider what we do about that. Also, don't forget that we have a new promo effort that... Podcasters, I have to say that no one well, not no one, but a really low number of people have contributed to a call I sent out to send me sound bites to use to create our Above Top Secret podcast promo. And I only have four, and I need more. So let's get on the stick and get those going, okay?
The invasion fleet stood on full alert. Admiral Thurlock paced the bridge of his flagship, eye stalks trembling with fury. The door dilated, and Chief Knowledgeist Grimble entered nervously.
"Is it true?" the Admiral growled. "Have the Earthlings destroyed themselves before we could get to them?"
No, sir, said Chief. "All radio emissions from the Earth did go silent, but it's not because they destroyed themselves. Quite the opposite." He held up a small rectangle of white plastic. "They've been hurling these into space in place of radio waves. It's called an iPod shuffle."
"Great gods," said the Admiral. "Could they have advanced so quickly?"
"They have, sir. We've been analyzing the contents. We've learned that Earth's media dictatorship has fallen, replaced by a free republic of so-called podcasts. Everyone has total free expression, and all their music can be played without a license. They all gather in an alley to elect their leaders. Currently the benevolent Queen Dawn and King Drew in the capital city of Coverville."
"But how?" the Admiral. "Where did they get such ideas?"
"Well, sir, you're not going to like this part. Although they're free, they all bow to a supreme overlord, Adam Curry."
"Curry has conquered another planet?" the Admiral roared. "Damn that galactic rock and roll geek. This is the bitterest pill indeed."
Yes, sir. What should we do, sir?"
"Do? Well, we can't fight them. We'll have to create a podcast of our own and corrupt their regime from within. Get me a computer, a microphone, the cheapest mixer you can find. We will show them that we, too, have audacity."
Yes, sir, said Grim, backing away slowly. This wasn't going to go well. He wondered if there was time to jump ship. The Minor Rebellion was still going on in the asteroid belt. Surely they had need for an evil genius.
"And prepare the Votatron!"
Escape Pod, the science fiction podcast magazine. Find us at escape.extraneous.org.
Above Top Secret Podcasting Review.
Well, that was the wrong bumper there, wasn't it? Let's let's try one more time. I think let's do it this way. There we go.
What's new at AboveTopSecret.com?
Well, that works. See, here we go. We're still getting the kinks out of this system here. It helps. It helps if I hit the right button. So, as I alluded to in the opening segment there, that something new or old has happened on the board as part of an experiment, and it is still ongoing, and the experiment will continue. We have temporarily suspended the review of all new member accounts. So as someone attempts to register an Above Top Secret, they do receive an immediate approval email with their password. And we just wanted to see what kind of effect this would have. There was some concern rising that we may be missing out on some quality new members as people attempt to register, and maybe we couldn't get to the review process right away, and they lost that initial passion to contribute to the board. So we are watching closely new members, and they do receive an email that indicates, even though they've been immediately approved, their account can be revoked at any time if they don't behave themselves. So that's ongoing. We may see a little more of the old activity of someone registering and posting an ad for something. We are jumping on it quickly. So if you see that, help us out by giving us a complaint. But I think with almost a full week, I think generally we're seeing a slightly more positive result than negative results. So we are going to keep this going. Also, don't forget that we have the Best Conspiracy Podcast contest still going, and we'll continue through early next week. So there's still time to get together your podcast. There's been a lot of good work on the ATS-C and other X and F and whatever. I got so many feeds, I don't know what to do with them. The other feeds. So have a listen and become familiar with those. What we're going to do when the contest period is over is literally allow you to score your top three most favorite podcasts in a special voting form. And from that, we will whittle it down to the top performers from your votes. And Simon, myself, and Thomas and Springer, and probably a few other experts to be named at a future date, will be tossed in from the staff to help us decide which is the cream of the crop. And as promised, you'll receive some special prizes, some special feature on the forum homepage, and also a prominent place in our podcast promos as we promote it. And the number one winner, the top winner of the best conspiracy podcast, will receive a shiny, bright, brand new iPod Nano. And from what I hear, those Nanos are now shipping with a protective sleeve to prevent the scratching problem, which Apple is a little embarrassed about. And also ongoing with a voting form is the council election. Voting is open now, and let's slide over there and have a quick look at the results, and give you a preliminary look at who's winning in each of the different races. No, I'm only kidding. I'm not going to do that. that would not be right now, would it? So, but anyway, if you haven't voted, and I can't imagine anyone who's listening to this by now who hasn't voted. I guess if you're not a member, because we do have about 2,400 to 2,500 non-members subscribing to our feeds at this point. So if you're not a member, I guess you could come over to the site, join up, and vote, and get your voice heard that way. That's one way to go about it.
Let's see what the members are saying.
Well, as I promised tonight, and I guess the volume of that one could have been a little louder. We'll just have to tweak this. Tonight, as promised, we're going to have a look at the 9/11 forum and a couple threads that caught my eye for various reasons. And as some of our old-time members know, this has been a topic that's been at the top of my mind on and off again. And there's a new thread. Well, not really that new. Well, yes, it is new. I'm thinking of another one. A new thread posted today. Physics professor says bombs, not planes, brought down the World Trade Center. And there's a link to an article. And I'm going to read two paragraphs from this thread. It is quite plausible that explosives were pre-planted in all buildings and set off after the two planes crashed, which were actually a diversion tactic, he writes. Muslims are probably not to blame for bringing down the World Trade Center buildings after all. Previous investigations, including those of FEMA, the 9/11 Commission, and the NIST, National Institute of Standards and Technology, ignore the physics and chemistry of what happened on September 11, 2001, to the Twin Towers and the 47-story building known as World Trade Center 7. He says the official explanation that fires caused structural damage that caused the building to collapse can't be backed up by either testing or history, he says. And there's a few responses in this thread. I can't count how many times the concept of bombs in the buildings have come up in topics on the World Trade Center since 9/11 2001. It's I guess if we had to pick a category of the top 10 repeat topics, this is certainly easily in the top three on Above Top Secret. And there's some relatively good exchanges going on. A couple members sort of don't accept that as I would. I tend to have a different view, a more skeptical view, I suppose, of this. And another member, no surprise, if you read through the thread, just sort of shuts down because he believes that there were bombs in the building. So it's an interesting read. Another thread along the same lines is, when did this thread begin? October 30th. So almost a week ago, which is interesting because, again, it's something we've seen in this topic over and over again. And it's really nice that Above Top Secret can help to play a role in at least if you're not going to accept debunking of some of these topics, at least we can show our expertise in these subjects rather by showing how this has been brought up before, and over here it's been debunked, or maybe over here it's been supported. And it's a really, really good experience for these new members. A new member, Steak Hodge, posted a photo that appears to be an airplane, a satellite photo of a passenger jet about to hit the Pentagon. And at first glance, well, maybe, but then as some members have discovered, it appears to be too high, the shadow too far from the plane. There's some attributes to the picture that look photoshopped. And there's also an indication that perhaps the plane in the original satellite photo is coming in at an incorrect angle. And then someone photoshopped a Stratocaster, it looks like, about to hit the Pentagon. And it looks hauntingly familiar. Again, it's nice to see that we have a good thread, and now those two good thread that continues the information related to debunking these things. And then in the same vein, an oldie but goodie that continues to rise to the surface in that forum, begun by Howard Rourke. I should stop doing these on Friday. 9/11 myths debunked. It started with a link to a popular mechanics article. I'm going downhill, but it's an ongoing thread and an excellent read. Not so much for the topic, which is a reoccurring theme in my coverage of the 9/11 forum, but not just because there's myths debunked in the thread, but there's a lot of good discussion about possibilities that. Maybe some aspects of the official story certainly have a lot of questions, as many of our Above Top Secret members know. And it's several pages, but it certainly is worth the read as you go through that. So when you have a chance, spend some time with these and other threads in the 9/11 forum. You'll certainly learn a lot. There's a lot of mythology, as we've just expressed with that tragic event. And a lot of facts still not quite clear. So it certainly is good to see these things being examined and discussed in detail.
Michael and Evo's Slice of Sci-Fi.
For the latest news and information in science fiction, TV, and movies.
Michael and Evo's Slice of Sci-Fi.
What the?
If you're watching it on TV or spending too much money for it at the drive-thru, it's on
Michael and Evo's Slice of Sci-Fi.
Aw, for the love of Pete, not again.
Weekly podcasts, stimulating interviews, and...
Meningay, what are you doing?
I'm making a promo.
You're jacking around with the vocal effects, aren't you?
Well, maybe a little.
What did I tell you about that? This does nothing, nothing, I tell you, for our image problem.
Yeah, but it's for other sci-fi related shows to run.
I don't care. Tell them to visit the website. Tell them to listen to the show. That's it. Now don't make me come back in here.
Fine. Some pod Yoda you are. Please visit our website at sliceofsci-fi.com and be sure to listen to
Michael and Evo's Slice of Sci-Fi.
It's time for Ask the Overlord. See, I can jack with the audio effects also. So I posted a thread this morning asking for your questions for another Ask the Overlord segment in tonight's Skeptic Overview, and we have a lot of good questions. I'll get into a few of those, and but first, want to thank everyone for your responses. And I want to say that I'm disappointed in our podcasters again. No one posted a podcast question. So come on, people. What do I have to do? I mean, come on. Stop podcasting and pay attention to me, will you? So the first question has nothing to do with Above Top Secret, but oddly enough, has a little bit to do with what I do outside of Above Top Secret. And it comes from Umbrax, and his question is, why is advertising online so different from television advertising? It's really not that different. And he gets into asking about, you know, quality issues. It, if you consider that online advertising is new, that's one factor. But think of Above Top Secret as sort of the fringe. If you watch television, as I'm sure some of you do, on the major networks, you'll see, you know, really quality advertising. Well, at least, you know, quality production values. Some may argue about the quality of what's actually in the content. And but if you watch late night local television, you'll notice a marked difference in the quality of the production values and products being advertised. And that's essentially where we stand now with online advertising. If you go to Yahoo or any of the other major websites out there, there's certainly a different caliber of product being advertised there than on websites like Above Top Secret, which are, you know, essentially considered third tier in popularity and niche content, as we have on this website. So as the internet develops, and especially as Above Top Secret gains in popularity with something like the TV show happening, we will certainly see an increased caliber of advertising. We already have. We are on a few different networks than we were maybe a year ago. And while you're still going to see some of the crappy flashing ads from time to time, you've noticed there's ads for a few banks. I've seen Volvo ads on Above Top Secret, a couple ads for Vonage, and an ad for Skype, and a couple others. So they're in there, and they're the better ads are creeping in. So you just have to sit and wait, I suppose, as both ATS and the medium develop a little more. Fingerpointa asked what I think of the idea of podcast plays. And I think it's a great idea, but I just can't see it happening in a collaborative way like the Fiction Forum operates. The nature of the way these podcasts are downloaded is the most current podcast is displayed in the playlist first on iTunes and other software that reads the feeds. So what you'd have to probably do is get a bunch of people together by Skype or something like that, and manage your production that way. Otherwise, I think the sequence and the flow would get broken up by simply how the RSS feeds are parsed by the readers out there. Nerdling with a bit of a self-serving, he knows I work in advertising and wanted to know what he can do in his CV or resume, if you will, to get the attention of giant uncaring media monoliths. Not much, really, unfortunately. it's tough. It really is. The best thing you can do is do something that would get you noticed and something different than what all the others are doing. And one person who was successful here in Manhattan, I think there was a couple of news stories on him, it was about 3 months ago, is he dressed up. He just graduated from college. He dressed up in a nice suit and had a number of quality resumes printed and put his resume on a sandwich board and put that over his shoulders along with a little information about himself and walked the streets of Manhattan handing out his resumes. And in one day, this was in, I think it was the Daily News here in New York. They had him, they had a little story about him, and the next day he's on the cover. He had a job. So that might clue you in as to, at this point, what it takes in this crazy industry in advertising and media to get noticed. We Come in Peace has asked, where do I see ATS in 3 years? Oh, my God. 3 years ago, I didn't see it here. I don't know. He says, what changes to the board and the community, both positive and negative, do you foresee from the advent of the TV show? I see it all positive. There's a lot of members that are going to think it's a negative thing. We're going to get a lot of trolls and idiots coming to the board. We've seen that happen, and the members think that's all a negative thing. But if you consider back to when it happens, it has a weird effect on the community where everyone pulls together and banishes the trolls and the newcomers and the twits from trashing Above Top Secret. So, in one regard, it may seem negative, but it really has a very positive effect on a community building nature of a site like this. So. It's really not that negative if you think about it. It will do a lot to build the community, and that's what I think is going to happen with the TV show. Some of our core members that really appreciate the influx of new traffic will just have a blast, be staying involved, and the community, I believe, will just solidify and become even stronger. Then he asks, from your standpoint as site admin, name the three most annoying things that members do. What really cheeses you off? Well, questions like this really cheeses me off. The three most annoying things. It's really tough. I mean, I think there's always complaints of that are just, crazy that appear on the complaints forum. And one appeared today where a member had trouble seeing some icons. I forget what it was. And it was just when somebody discovered it was just something simple. He wasn't either looking at the top of the page or to the right of the page. And it's those kinds of things that happen where the members just, new members especially, and I guess it doesn't really piss me off, but it's just, it's one of those irritating things. They just don't read what's been given to them to get started on Above Top Secret. Benevolent Heretic has wondered what I and all the others who put into the upper range of ATS get out of it. What needs does it fulfill for you, she asks. Well, that's a good question. What I've been getting out of Above Top Secret is obviously a lot. And there's no value on what I've learned from helping Simon operate this place now for almost 4 years. Being involved as staff and almost 3 years in helping on the technology side of things, it's an intangible that I feel has helped me tremendously in what I do outside of ATS and just getting to know the digital culture, and that's really. That's really the most important thing. Not so much that specific, how it helps me offline, but just what I've learned here, working with all of the members and all of the staff, especially. And I think the best thing for me that's happened out of Above Top Secret is some of the friends I've forged, especially Springer and Thomas and Simon and William Wunsack, that simply would not have happened any other way. And that, to me, is plenty enough to get out of this. Loam asks about video casting. Ever going to happen? No. I do not want to see what you guys look like. No, I'm only kidding. I just don't think video casting, will ever be viable in the realm of the amateur. Video casting, video production, really is much, much harder, much more unforgiving than audio production, and I just don't see us going there anytime soon. A similar question from Odium, as we saw earlier. What plans do you have for ATS in the near future? The plans really are just to keep following the lead of you guys and try to stay up. If you've noticed over the past 2 years, ATS really has followed what the members want from it. There's an anonymous question coming over to you, two-part question. What do you like most about ATS right now? What I like most is the size and the diversity of all the opinions and people. There's some people that might complain about the anti-American opinions that are from the members outside the U.S. and vice versa. Some of the members outside the U.S. complain about the pro-American stance of the board. It's kind of weird. But even all of that taken into account, it all adds up to just an amazing place. And that's what I like most right now. What do you miss from the early days? I miss the lack of free time. the early days, I was posting, you know, I was beating Thomas Crown's ass in discussions on theology in the religion forum. And I miss that. I miss having the time to just push him around and show him who was who. And that was a blast. So, almost 41 minutes here. Look at this. Oh, my gosh. I went over to Audio Hijack Pro to see where I stand in the timing. And 41 minutes at right about now. So, I guess this is a great test of the software. What I like most about Audio Hijack Pro, I think I mentioned once before, is as I'm doing this, it's saving the MP3 right to the hard drive. So as soon as I'm done, and as soon as I can talk, when I finish the podcast, the MP3 is finished and ready to go. I don't need to do any extra work to it. I don't need to add other files or go back and add effects or tweak with the compression. It all seems to be pretty good. So we're going to wrap up this extended version of the Skeptic Overview tonight. And thanks for listening to this long-winded Skeptic Overview. Keep podcasting and have a good night.